हरे कृष्ण। 50 first verse 24th chapter, the philosophy of Sankhya. Here in the 23rd chapter, in the song of Avanti Brahman, the cause of suffering was the identity, was the self-identity in the subtle body predominated by mind, right? That was the cause of one's suffering. That is explained very elaborately in the Avanti Brahman episode. So that false identity disappears when one distinguishes the soul from the body, from the gross and subtle bodies. So that understanding is rooted in Sankhya. Right? Sankhya is distinguishing matter and spirit, analyzing matter and spirit. So when we analyze matter and spirit and understand that soul is different from this body and subtle body and material body, right? The whole chart we see, right? 23 elements are there. This gross body and subtle body are belonging to those 23 elements, 23, 24 elements, right? But the Jiva Shakti coming from the Supreme Lord's glance, so that is being entangled in this whole, you know, elements, 23 combination of these elements, right? So one, if one analyzes this whole thing, which is called Sankhya, so one will develop impetus. Oh, I'm entrapped here. I should come back. Right? This is the cause. That's why Krishna immediately says this philosophy of Sankhya, although it's repeated several times earlier. First verse. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Athate Samprabhakshyami. Sankhyam Purvair Vinishchitam. Yadvignaya Guman Sadhyo. Jehyadvaikalpitam Brahmam.
Lord Sri Krishna said, "Now I shall describe to you the science of Sankhya, which has been perfectly established by ancient authorities. By understanding this science, a person can immediately give up the illusion of material duality."
By understanding Sankhya, one can give up material duality. Okay. So the speculative theory is generated from false ego of conditioned life and constitutes gross ignorance unacceptable to Lord and His devotees. Right? So what is that speculative theory? What Mayavadis say? So one should not think that evolution begins from original material element without the assistance of the Lord. So Sankhya also describes that everything is rooted in Supreme Lord. Why? How come all these material elements are coming into existence? From the Supreme Lord only. Right? So, Lord glances on the Pradhan. Pradhan is first coming out of his body and Lord glances on it and further transformations happen and all the elements are there. If one is focused only on the elements and not on the source of those elements, then that is like materialism, materialistic conclusion, speculation only. One has to find things in right perspective. So here Sankhya helps us to identify the root of entire material existence. Sankhya is identifying the root, bhakti is watering the root. Bhakti is you serve the Supreme Lord. Sankhya is identify Supreme Lord as the source of everything. Right? Second verse. Asitnanam atho artha ekam eva vikalpitam yada viveka nipunam adau krita yuge yuge.
Originally, during the Krita Yuga, when all men were very expert in spiritual discrimination, and also previous to that, during the period of annihilation, the seer existed alone, non-different from the seen object.
So in Satya Yuga, there is no difference between vision and reality. Because people are so spiritually elevated, they are Viveka Nipuna, as second verse says, Viveka Nipuna. They have very good spiritual discrimination. So what they see the reality. Now what we see and what the reality is different. right? Although we see that pratyaksha is not what the knowledge that we acquire by seeing is not the complete knowledge, right? But in Satyayuga, it is the case. It was the case. So the liberated living entities in the eternal spiritual world are never subject to such merging, but remain forever undisturbed in their spiritual forms. So at the time of annihilation, everything merges into the Lord, and at that time also there is no difference between the Lord, who becomes the only seer, and the objects of knowledge which are contained within the Lord. Now two things are there, seer and seen, that comes right in this verse. In Satyayuga, people, because of their elevated consciousness, what they see is reality. Okay? It's not that there is a difference between their understanding of what they see and what the actual reality is. Right? It's same. They will understand things as it is. That's one thing. Seer and seen are in line with each other. Okay? Are same. Now, another thing is, at the time of dissolution, all the universes merge into the Supreme Lord. So universe becomes the seen and the Lord becomes the seer. At the time of dissolution, the seer and seen come together. That's another angle of understanding this verse. Aham evasam evagre. He alone existed before the creation. Third verse. Tanmaya phala rupena kevalam nirvikalpitam vanmano gocharam satyam Dridha sambandhavat brihat.
That one absolute truth remaining free from material dualities and inaccessible to ordinary speech and mind divided himself into two categories, the material nature and the living entities who are trying to enjoy the manifestations of that nature.
Okay. There is one absolute truth. Now, see the dissolution thing. Creation has not yet started after the previous dissolution. So all the universes are merged in the Supreme Lord. This figure. All these were not there. They were all inside his body only. Sweat pores. So now that one Supreme Lord divided himself into Prakriti and living entity. Prakriti and Purusha are the material nature and living entity. Right? Divided himself doesn't mean his existence is lost. He is remaining there as Mahavishnu, but he generated these two. He became the source of these two, while he himself remained like that. Right? It's not that he lost his existence, as Vivartavada people might suspect. So, what do they do? Prakriti and Purusha, living entity and material nature. What do they do? The living entity is the enjoyer. Because he desires, he enjoys this material nature in various ways. And what does the material nature do? It embodies all the subtle causes. Here the material nature is referring to pradhana, the beginning stage, the seed. First the seed comes out, right? So this is the pradhana. So what comes out is that bubble is pradhana. Right? Before all the transformation takes place, it just what small thing coming out is the pradhana, seed. So he is referring to Pradhana first. Pradhana comes and the Jiva Shakti. Okay? So fourth verse. What the Pradhana does, we will read in the fourth verse. Tayor ekataro hyartha prakritisho bhayatmika jnanam tvanayamad jnanam tvanyatamo bhavaha purushasso bhidhiyate.
Of these two categories of manifestation, one is material nature, which embodies both the subtle causes and manifest products of matter.
It embodies, this pradhana, embodies the subtle causes and manifests the products of matter. Embodies all the subtle causes means, this pradhana is there, now it's a seed form only. So many causes are coming out, eventually manifesting into so many products. So it is embodying all those causes and emanating all these products of matter. Okay. Next.
The other is the conscious living entity designated as the enjoyer.
Okay, this is the enjoyer, living entity. 3 and 4 are clear, right? These are similar to 7.4 and 5, Bhagavad Gita. Bhumirapo anado avayo khammano buddhirevacha ahankara iti me bhinna prakriti rastuga. So this first line you see, prakriti pra, this first line is bhinna prakriti. This is, what is that? Mamaivamso jivaloke jivabhuta sanatam. Aparayam itastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhutam mahabaho yedam dharyate jagat. That is the second line. Clear? So far? Clear? Next, for fifth verse. Tamo raja sattvamiti. Now what he is saying is, so far he just brought out the pradhan from his body. The Supreme Lord brought out pradhan from his body, from his sweat pore. Now the modes are in unmanifest state. Now they have to begin the manifestation. The modes topic is coming up in fifth verse. Tamo rajas sattvamiti prakrite abhavan gunah maya prakshobhyamanaya purushanumatena cha.
When material nature was agitated by my glance, the three material modes of goodness, passion and ignorance became manifest to fulfill the pending desires of the conditioned souls.
The pending desires of the conditioned souls. Okay, long pending, since last creation, not last month, not in the last week. We have services left over. Last weekend service, this weekend you do, like that. Since last creation, they are pending. So this is what we have learnt in 3rd canto, 6th chapter, and 2nd canto, 5th chapter, we have learnt this chart. So now, so far this happened. Mahavishnu is there. Kala, karma, swabhava. So karma swabhava are pertaining to the jiva shakti, the living entities, and this material nature are pradhana. Their three modes are inactive. Now because of this Lord's glands, things are getting active and mahatattva is getting manifested. And mahatattva, like, it has two aspects, sutra tattva and mahatattva. Sutra tattva is predominantly in rajas, passion, and mahatattva is predominantly in goodness. Mahatattva is accompanied by jnana shakti. Sutra Tattva is accompanied by Kriya Shakti. Okay? We will read it now. And all this, why he is doing? To fulfill the pending desires of living entity. Whether we understand this or remember this chat or not, we have to remember that we are here only because of our stupid material desire. Because of our pending material desires. Lord doesn't want to keep anything pending. Right? He wants to fulfill. Okay. One more creation, If there were no pending desires for all these conditioned souls, Lord did not create only. Simple. He can wind up. Mahavishnu incarnation, wind up. Only spiritual world, no more material world. No purushavataras. Done. That will never happen. Because so many souls are there, conditioned souls, they will continue the creation. So many criminals are there, jail has to exist. There is never a point that in a country there is no jail. Similarly, there is never a point where there is no material world. because people have material desires. And Lord will never intrude into the material desires. Okay, desire is the only property, okay, that the conditioned soul has. Lord never wants to intrude into the proprietorship of the living entity over his desires. You desire. Rest all you have no control. You have control only on your desires. Okay? I will never intrude into it. So Lord casts his glance over material nature to remind her that the conditioned souls have not worked out their chain of fruitive activity and mental speculation, and that creation is therefore again necessary. Why is Lord glancing? Because he wants to remind the material energy also. Aray, the souls are still lying there. Have to do something about them. One more creation is needed. No, get up, get up. So then creation happens. The Lord desires that the conditioned souls get the opportunity to become Krishna conscious in love of Godhead. And through the medium of fulfilling their material desires, Lord wants to give them another chance to become Krishna conscious also. So there is a constant competition between birth, maintenance and annihilation. This purport is very interesting. There is a competition between CMD, right? Creation, maintenance and destruction are happening, right? There is always a competition. What is that? See, the examples are also given. Child desires to take birth and a cruel mother wants to do abortion. Okay? So there is a competition between creation and destruction. Right? Then, we may desire to kill the weeds in the field, agriculture, they stubbornly take birth again. There is a competition between maintenance of the field and destruction, or their creation, or taking birth. Similarly, we often desire to maintain our physical status quo, but still deterioration takes place. Maintenance of one's body and becoming old. Deterioration. Thus, there is a constant competition amongst creation, maintenance and destruction. Means, there is a constant competition among mode of goodness, passion and ignorance, right? And their combinations and permutations. The living entities are trying to enjoy innumerable material situations through these three modes. Through GPI, goodness, passion, ignorance, through CMD. Okay? There are so many permutations and combinations. And living entities in the middle. So, the Lord sets the stage for such material futility so that conditioned souls will eventually come back home, back to God. Tebhyah samabhavat sutram mahan sutrena samyutah tato vikurvato jato yohankaro vimohanah.
From these modes arose the primeval sutra along with the mahatattva. By the transformation of the Mahatattva was generated the false ego, the cause of living entities' bewilderment.
Okay. So the primeval sutra. Sutra Tattva is the Rajas accompanied by Kriya Shakti. You will read the next verse also. Read the translation.
False ego, which is the cause of physical sensation, the senses and the mind, encompasses both spirit and matter and manifests in three varieties, in the modes of goodness, passion and ignorance.
Okay, sixth verse says that there is primeval sutra tattva along with mahatattva. These two. Sutra tattva in Rajas accompanied by the power of activity. This is power of knowledge, potency of knowledge. Those are mentioned in the purport, you can read. Then seventh verse says ahankara, false ego. False ego is the cause of physical sensation, the senses, the mind, and encompasses both matter and spirit. See, false ego encompasses both matter and spirit. Spirit is the soul. Matter is all these elements, 23 elements. Right? So the false ego is the illusory combination of eternal conscious soul and the temporary unconscious body. So there is no... soul is spiritual, matter is material. Right? How can there be a combination of these two? What is bringing them together? False ego. So false ego is the medium through which matter and spirit are getting combined. So if you remove this adhesive from the picture, this araldite or fevicol or feviquick out of the scene, then spirit is separated from matter. Right? But this is so thick. Right? So feviquick is so thick that I just kept a drop here and this got spoiled. It becomes so dry so fast. Now it has to go for repair and then it becomes like this now. This adapter. So false ego is also so thick. So vaikarikas taijasasya tamasas chetyaham trivirt tan matra tan matrendriya manasam karanam chidana Chid Achinmayaha. This is the word I was looking. It is encompassing both matter and spirit. Chid Achinmayaha. That is false ego. Okay. So, this hopeless situation can be overcome by taking to pure Krishna consciousness, in which the pleasure of the Supreme Lord becomes the only goal of one's life. No false ego there. Real ego. Next, read the translations.
From false ego in the mode of ignorance, the subtle physical perceptions and thus the gross elements were generated. From false ego in the mode of passion came the senses, and from false ego in the mode of goodness arose the 11 demigods.
Okay. From false ego and ignorance we have tanmatras and elements, then these five gross elements. Then false ego and passion we have senses, then from false ego and goodness we have demigods. Okay. And mind also. The names of demigods are also given in the purport. Impelled by me, all these elements combined to function in an orderly fashion and together gave birth to the universal egg, which is my excellent place of residence. So, till 8th verse, this is the flow, 5 to 8, which you are very much familiar with, what is there on the slide. Then, 9th verse is the formation of universal egg. So, these 23 elements came right here. Mahatattva, Ahankara, Tanmatras, gross elements, senses and mind. So all this together formed a universal egg. Okay, this is the egg. Then, I myself appeared within that egg. So this Mahavishnu, he entered into this universal egg as Garbhodakasaya Vishnu. Okay. Then, and from my navel arose the universal lotus. So from his navel, we have universal lotus and on top of it, Brahma took birth. That is the verse number 9 and 10. This is clear so far? Which we already know. 11th verse. Lord Brahma, the soul of the universe, being endowed with mode of passion, performed great austerities by my mercy, and thus created the three planetary divisions called Bhur, Bhuvar and Swar, along with their presiding duties. So Brahmaji, he performed austerities. He created this planetary systems. First three, Bhur, Bhuvar, Swar. And on top of it, we have this Maharloka, Tapoloka, Janaloka, Satyaloka. Right? These are all the seven planetary systems, upper planetary systems. Patal Lokas, there are seven lower planetary systems. All these 14 planetary systems Brahmaji created. And 11 to 14, or 12 to 14, describe the inhabitants of all these planetary systems. I will summarize in short. Swarloka, demigods are there in Swarloka. The inhabitants of Swarloka are demigods. Then ghosts reside in Bhuvarloka. Human beings reside in Bhuloka. Demons and snakes reside in Patalloka. Then Maharloka, Tapoloka, Janoloka, Satyaloka, all these four lokas are resided by mystic yogis. And these mystic yogis, through the medium of tapasya, they go to the four upper planetary systems. Right? I am just summarizing four verses and purports. Here carefully. So these four are inhabited by people who are mystic yogis and they do tapasya. Now tapasya is actually done by brahmacharis and vanaprastas. Okay, who enter here are brahmacharis and vanaprastas. There are some brahmacharis who follow celibacy for some time, some amount of time only in their life. They enter Maharloka. There are some brahmacharis who follow brahmacharya throughout life. They enter Janaloka. And there are renunciants, maybe sannyasis, although the word is not mentioned, or vanaprastha sannyasis, whatever. They enter Satyaloka. Right? Tapoloka, nothing specific is mentioned, but something general to all these four lokas is mystic yogis who do tapasya enter this Tapoloka. Okay? But one who is a devotee of Krishna, by bhakti, he enters Krishna's loka, which is beyond this material realm. Right? So the entrance, the inhabitants of these seven lokas are 14 planetary systems is given, but beyond this 14 planetary system, beyond this universe is Krishna's abode, that is the attained by devotees, by bhakti. We all by austerities, this is by bhakti. Okay? We summarize it till 14th verse. 14th verse last line is bhakti yogasya madgatihi. Ordham gacchanti sattvastha, madhye tishtanti rajasa. They are all related verses. So different lok for different folk. Right? Then 15th verse. 15th verse describes further destinations. All results of fruitive work have been arranged within this world by me, the Supreme Creator, acting as the force of time. Thus one sometimes rises up towards the surface of this mighty river of modes, sometimes again submerges. Right? Sometimes he floats up, sometimes he merges. But whether he floats or merges, whether he is on the top layer of water or bottom of the water body, he is in the river only, river of material existence only. Okay? So that is mentioned here. All this is orchestrated by the Supreme Lord through the medium of modes. But one who goes beyond this river of material existence enters the kingdom of God. That is Krishna's form. If you remember in the Dakshas episode 6.5, where Narada Muni gives an allegorical story to Hariyasvas and Chavalasvas, there one of the 10 allegorical points is there is a river flowing in both directions, creation and dissolution. That is this river only, river of modes. 16th verse. So for 15th verse is describing about Unmajyati and Nimajyati, becoming submerged and then coming up. Means going to upper planetary systems or going to lower planetary systems. Right? Becoming submerged in water or floating in the water means going to either upper planetary systems or lower planetary systems. Right? That is happening with the jiva. But whether it's floating or submerged, he is within this material world only, under modes only. He has to come up. 16th verse. Whatever features visibly exist within this world, small or great, thin or stout, certainly contain both the material nature and its enjoyer, the spirit soul. That is like etad yonini bhutani. What is that? 7.6. Basically, whatever you see in this material world is a combination of matter and spirit, material energy and spiritual energy, jiva and pradhan. Right? That is what is mentioned in the 16th verse. Flow is clear so far? Then 17 and 18 are very interesting verses. Yastu yasyadirantascha savai madhyam chatasyasan vikaro vyavahararto yathatai jasa parthivaha yadupadaya purvastu bhavo vikurute param adiranto yadayasya tat satyam abhidhiyate.
Gold and earth are originally existing as ingredients. From gold, one may fashion golden ornaments such as bracelets and earrings. And from earth, one may fashion clay pots and saucers. The original ingredients, gold and earth, exist before the products made from them. And when the products are eventually destroyed, the original ingredients, gold and earth, will remain. Thus, since the ingredients are present in the beginning and at the end, they must also be present in the middle phase, taking the form of a particular product to which we assign for convenience a particular name, such as bracelet, earring, pot or a saucer. We can therefore understand that since the ingredient cause exists before the creation of a product and after the product's destruction, the same ingredient cause must be present during the manifest phase, supporting the product as the basis of its reality.
Okay. I will read the 18th one. A material object itself composed of an essential ingredient creates another material object through transformation. Thus, one created object becomes the cause and basis of another created object. A particular thing may thus be called real in that it possesses the basic nature of another object that constitutes its origin and final state. It's very simple, plain English, nice concept is explained. This can be understood nicely with this one image. We have gold, golden ornaments. Both are gold, right? But gold is the source of an ornament. Say golden earring or golden necklace. Okay? That gold is the origin or source of the golden ornament. It is, ornament is made into certain shape. Right? Here some, what is that called? You know, some cap kind of thing, it will flow, right? Kundal. That's in a different shape, a makar kundal, it's in a fish shape, right? Or it's in a swan shape, something is, it's transforming, but it's essentially gold, right? Similarly, earth is there. Earth is transforming itself into clay. Clay is a transformation of earth. You just pick up the earth and then do some processing, it will become clay. And that clay, you put it on a potter's wheel and it will become pot, like this. Right? Now, what these two verses are saying is, cause is present in the effect. Effect is the pot. Cause is the clay. Clay is present in the pot. Effect is the clay. Earth is the cause. So, earth is present in the clay. Effect is the earth. Cause is Mahatattva. Mahatattva is present in earth. Effect is Mahatattva. Cause is Pradhan. Mahatattva, Pradhan is present in Mahatattva. Pradhan is the effect. Supreme Lord. Mahavishnu is the cause. So Mahavishnu is present in Pradhan. Present. Mahavishnu, like that, if you see, Mahavishnu is present in this pot also. Right? Everywhere, not a single blade of grass exists without having its basis in Supreme Lord. You can't say this pot is Mahavishnu, but this pot cannot exist without Mahavishnu. That's what I'm saying. And where is Mahavishnu's existence coming from? Krishna. So Krishna is all-pervading. That is the conclusion of these two verses. Krishna is the basis of every existence. Every manifestation that we see, Krishna is the basis. Right? Brahmanohi pratishtaham. He is the pratishtaham of everything, not just Brahman. Right? Then, an object is real as it has the basic nature of its origin. Why this pot is real? Because its origin, its source is real. Who is that? Mahavishnu. Krishna. Because Krishna is not illusion, Krishna is real. All the manifestations in this world are real. They are not illusion. They may temporarily manifest for some time, but they are all real manifestations. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya is bogus because they say this is false. We don't say it is false. It is temporary. Now just restrict our analogy or example only till this earth and pot. You see pot here, you see earth here. Right? This earth only transformed itself into this pot. Now with this pot, you just break it, it will become clay. And that clay will just go into earth. Right? So see this line, 18th verse. A particular thing may thus be called real in that it possesses the basic nature of another object. So particular thing is pot here. It is consisting the basic nature of another object, which is earth here. That constitutes its origin. Earth is constituting the origin of pot and final state. When the pot is broken, pot will become earth. Is it not? So earth is the origin and final state of this pot. Similarly, Mahavishnu is the origin and final state of this universe. After the universe is annihilated, where does it go? It enters Mahavishnu. Right? And Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Ultimately, everything goes into Krishna and coming from Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhava matva sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante imam udha bhava samanita. So that is the gist of these two verses. 19th verse. Prakritir yasyopadhanam adhara purushah paraha Sato bhivyanjakah kalo brahmatat tritayam tvaham.
The material universe may be considered real, having nature as its original ingredient and final state. Lord Mahavishnu is the resting place of the nature which become manifest by the power of time. Thus nature, the almighty Vishnu and the time are non-different from me, the absolute personality of Godhead.
So three causes are mentioned here. Mahavishnu, time and nature. Nature is the cause of all manifestation here, right? Time is the cause of all manifestation here, right? And Mahavishnu is the cause of all manifestations. Definitely, we just discussed. But these three are causes, and the cause of these three is Krishna. Sarva Karana Karanam is Krishna. Krishna is the source of all causes, of all these three primary causes also. Material nature or time or Mahavishnu or Pradhan or false ego. All these are intermediate causes. Right? But Krishna is the ultimate cause. Okay? 20th verse. And how long does this creation exist? As long as Mahavishnu glances on it. 20th verse. As long as the Supreme Personality of Godhead continues to glance upon nature, the material world continues to exist. Perpetually. Manifesting through procreation, the great and variegated flow of universal creation. Okay. 21. I am the basis of that universal form. Now you just enter this universe, what you see, all the details is universal form only. Right? So Krishna says, I am the basis of that. Brahmanohi Pratishtham. Here Virat Rupohi Pratishtham also Krishna only. So I am the basis of that universal form which displays endless variety through the repeated creation, maintenance and destruction of the planetary systems. Originally containing within itself all planets in their dormant state, my universal form manifests the varieties of created existence by arranging the coordinated combination of five elements. Okay. So now we have seen the Sankhya creation part. The reverse process is destruction, annihilation part. It just happens exactly the opposite. Someone can read? You read. Whoever.
At the time of annihilation, the mortal body of living being becomes merged into food. Food merges into grain and grain merges back into earth. The earth merges into its subtle sensation, fragrance. Fragrance merges into water and see water this. Further merges into its own quality.
Go step by step. So earth merges into fragrance, smell. Then next, water, taste, fire, form, air, touch, ether, sound. All these are merging into sound. So sound is here, five elements. Yes, Prabhu, please read.
That taste merges into fire, which merges into form. Form merges into touch, and touch merges into ether. Ether finally merges into the sensation of sound. The senses all merge into their own origins, the presiding demigods, and the O gentle Uddhava, merge into the controlling mind, which itself merges into the false ego in the mode of goodness.
Okay. So from here, all these are merging into false ego. We have seen. Right? Next.
Sound become one with false ego in the mode of ignorance. And all-powerful false ego, the first of all the physical element, merges into the total nature. The total material nature...
That is Mahatattva and Pradhan.
The total material nature, the primary repository of three basic modes, dissolve into modes. These modes of the nature then merges into unmanifest form of nature, and that unmanifest form merges into time. Time merges into the Supreme Lord, present in the form of omniscient Mahapurush, the original activator of all living beings.
Okay. That this is the wind-up process. This will come again in 12th canto. Next.
That origin of all life merges into me, the unborn Supreme Soul, who remains alone, established within himself. It is from him that all creation and annihilation are manifested.
Okay. Just as the sun, rising sun, removes the darkness of the sky, similarly, this scientific knowledge of cosmic annihilation removes all illusory duality from the mind of a serious student, not casual student. Even if illusion somehow enters his heart, it cannot remain there. It enters. But after some time it will go. It gets bored there. Itna knowledge bhara hai. How can I stay here? It just leaves. Like that. A clear understanding of the knowledge spoken by Krishna to Uddhava removes all ignorance concocted by the material mind. Last verse. Thus, I, the perfect seer of everything, material and spiritual, have spoken the Sankhya, which destroys the illusion of doubt by scientific analysis of creation and annihilation. So creation and annihilation, that is Sankhya. Thank you all very much. The flow is clear. We did in a very short time. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tomorrow we'll complete two more chapters. Second question, 15 marks. You don't have to quote the verses, just write the answer. Fourth question, 20 marks. So flow of the song and why the six reasons for miseries, they are eliminated, all that. Fourth question is 20 marks. Two verses you have to quote. Okay. Then how are the results awarded to various workers in modes? Second question, 7 marks. 11.24, second question. No, 11.24, just give a summary of the entire chapter, 15 marks. Sufficient. Thank you.
Thanks.